All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online today, this morning, in our Bible study at Waldo Baptist Church. We want to welcome everybody that's watching. I wish you could be here, but know many of you can't, and so we're just glad that you are watching today. We're in the book of 2 Peter, in the first chapter, beginning in the third verse of the first chapter of 2 Peter. So I'll give you time to get there. While you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, as we come before you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for so great a salvation. As you have revealed it to us in your scriptures, we realize that it is unearned, unmerited, undeserved. But by the grace of God, you have given us a salvation that is full, free, and forever through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his atoning sacrifice, that he gave himself in our place on the cross, that we might know the forgiveness of sin, the reality of a life with God as our Father, Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as our leader. And Father, we thank you for so great a salvation. Now I pray that you might make it become even more real and alive in our hearts of the magnificent work of a holy God that we have experienced in Jesus Christ, that we might tell the story to others of what you have done for us, that it might become such a reality that we cannot help but share in the good news of the gospel of Christ, that others might come to know you as well, and they might experience what we have in the power of the Holy Spirit to make us a new creation in Christ, to be led by the Spirit, to be loved of God, to be adopted into his family, and the reality that we will spend eternity with him. So Lord, bless as we study your word together. May we grasp how high, how deep, how wide, and how high is the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. For we ask it in his precious name, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Some of the most powerful scriptures in all the Bible is found here in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in the third verse. I think as we studied last week, we got through three words, his divine power. And I think beyond that, we probably got through, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And so as we look at these scriptures, we have, I think, studied thoroughly enough that we have been given divine power, his divine power, to give us everything that we need for life and godliness. And in saying that, I say this, we are without excuse. Because he has given us, as the scripture says, everything we need for life and godliness. We said when we talk about life that he has given us, we're talking about the internal. He has given us life in the spirit. We have been born from above. We have been made a new creation in Christ by the grace of God. And now we live a life that we could not earn, that we did not merit, that we were undeserved, is Christ in me. And so I have Christ in me. I have the divine power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So now I have a life within me that I was born without in my old nature. I have a new nature within me, which is that life that he's talking about, which is divine power in the person of the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, and to produce in me a life that I could not have had except by the grace of God. That's internal. Then the external is godliness. It is the power that is in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit, to live a life externally by the power of the Holy Spirit that shows itself to be true in the life that I live externally through the power that is given me internally, that the world can see Christ in me. It is that power that gives me the ability and the strength and the power to live that life externally in a broken and dying and dark world that others might see Christ in me. So I have it internally that gives me the strength to live it externally. So I am without excuse because God has given me everything that I need internally and externally that I might live for His glory and for His honor. Has anybody got a question about that? That's what he means by life and godliness as he talks, as he gives us that in the scripture there. Now that leads us to something else that is just unbelievable. And I'm going to jump down here to verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. Now, when he says precious promises, in the Greek, that means unequaled value. The promises that God has given us in the scriptures are of unequaled value. There is nothing of equal value than the promises that God has given you through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. Nothing that you will ever receive on earth that will equal the value of what God has promised you and ordained for you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So when he says the word precious here, it is promises that are of unequaled value. In other words, the greatest thing that will ever happen to you on this earth is when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you were born from above and you were adopted into the family of God. Nothing else can equal what God has done for you and what God has promised you. Throughout the ages of the ages into eternity, we will only then begin to realize how unequal value that which God has promised you through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he means when he says precious promises. These are things that are of unequal value in the life of the believer. And I do not think we can comprehend how great that promise is until we find ourselves in the very presence of God Himself throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. And I think only then will we realize how great the promises of God really are, of unequal value when we see that. And if that in itself isn't enough, he says that through them, what? Through those promises of unequal value, you may participate in the divine nature. You may participate in the divine nature. You have a nature that is in you that is a gift of God Himself. I have a nature within me that I was not born with, that I did not earn, that I could not merit, that I did not deserve, that God has given me through His Son Jesus Christ when I was born from above. It's not something that you work up to. It is something that God gave you at the point of salvation. I said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. Because as we see here in 2 Peter, when we looked at the scriptures, he said, I'm going to remind you of what you already know, and I'm going to remind you again and again and again. It's not something that you hope to attain. It is something you already have. And so our problem as a Christian many times is we don't understand what we already have. We're thinking this is something I might gain when it's something we already have. God has already given you His divine power. He's already allowed you to participate in His divine nature. He has already given you precious promises. He's already gifted you with the Holy Spirit and the power of God for internal and external life and godliness. So this is not something that we see ourselves as trying to attain or something that we're trying to work for, but it is something that we already have that ought to become a reality in our life, that we live as though this is who we are and what God has gifted us with and what God has promised us for the future. It's like this. It's like having a new car. And you go out and you take your new car. And I see you going down the road. And you are pushing it down the road. And I say, what in the world are you doing? And you say, well, I've got this new car and I'm going down the road, and the best I can, I'm pushing it down the road. And I say, what in the world are you doing that for? If you just get in it and start it, it has the power to carry you down the road. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, you get in, reality sets in. Nowadays, you push the button, it starts, you have a power you never understood you had, and it carries you down the road, and you enjoy the trip. So many Christians don't enjoy the trip because they don't realize what they already have. And so they're trying to push their Christianity down the road when they don't realize God has given them the power to enjoy the trip. Let me ask you this. If you don't enjoy the trip, what good is it knowing you're saved? To me, one of the greatest blessings in the world is to enjoy God, is to enjoy the reality of God's promises. is to enjoy the reality of God's power. If you miss that, you're not going to have a very good trip till you get to heaven. God has given us these things when He made us a new creation in Christ that we might live out our salvation by faith, understanding and realizing these great and precious promises. So then, we ask these questions. Have you forgotten? Do you need to be reminded of the richness of your salvation? Have you forgotten all that God gave you when you were saved, when you were born from above? Second thing we ask you, not only have you forgotten the richness of your salvation, have you forgotten the potential of your salvation? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Does that mean anything to you? The only thing that limits you is you. Think about that for a minute. The only thing that limits me is me. Scripture says if we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, remove yourself, and it would be removed. Most of our life as a Christian, we live with a lack of faith in who God is and what God wants to do through our life. And when we do that, we limit the joy, the peace, and the power that God wants to exhibit through our life as a believer. If you go to a lot of people and you say, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? They'd say something like this, well, I can't do and I do not want to do this, this, and this, but I want to do and I should do this, this, and this. And they have boiled down their Christianity to a legalistic system where it is, you shouldn't do this, but you should do this. And they miss out the whole point of being born again and being a Christian. They think Christianity is just a set of rules you got to follow. And nothing could be farther from the truth. I used to say when I was preaching all the time, this telephone post out here, it don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those that do. But this telephone post isn't safe. You are. Which means you have everything you need for life and godliness. The problem is we haven't tapped into, by reality, everything that God has given us and everything that God has promised us through the Son, Jesus Christ. So you're still pushing the car down the road when it was meant to carry you down the road, and that's why you don't enjoy the trip. Are you with me? Shake your head like this. Charlie, shake your head like this. Okay. Makes me feel better even if you don't. Okay. MacArthur said, most Christians are loaded with eternal dynamite and they don't even know it. I want to read you an illustration, and this is from MacArthur too. If you know, I use a lot of MacArthur stuff. I think I want to go through all this. Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it to the point it affects your life? The way you live, what you do, where you go, what you say? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said, I'll never forget the time that I was having pie at the Meckelsons. It was after Sunday night. I've been there lots of times. You know, it was pastoral pie. It's one of the things pastors do is go out and have pie and things on Sunday night. So we were having pie. And Jerry Mitchell called and says, you've got to come to the church. There's a demon-possessed person here. And so I went from the ridiculous to the sublime very fast. Got to the church, walked in the room. She was on the floor and the desk was flipped over and strange things were happening. And I went into the room and she started kicking and flailing and smashing at me and all of this. Jerry was a boxer in the Navy and I'd played football, so we just hit her and that's the only way we could do it. We literally put her on the floor. And then she started to scream in a voice that was not her own. Get him out of here. And she was pointing at me. Get him out. Anybody but him, get him out, get him out, get him out. And she kept screaming. Screaming that. At first I thought, I've got to get out of here. I'm in trouble with this, you know. That was scary. And then I thought to myself, as I began to think about it, boy, there's no doubt in her mind, in their mind, whose side I'm on. Illustration goes on to say, she was saved and born again, sins were forgiven, and she became a new creation in Christ. I know I've talked to Paul Warsher, who has been in similar situations in South America, in Peru, where he spent so much of his time. That's very foreign to us because we don't run into situations like that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We don't even begin to grasp how true that is. And so it limits us in what we even try to do. And it limits us in enjoying the trip between now and heaven. We're still pushing the car down the road. Not to even realize that God has gifted us with His power, divine power, in the person of the Holy Spirit that can not only make us a new creation, but fulfill these precious, unequal promises in our life, not only here, but throughout the ages of the ages of the ages in heaven one day. And I didn't get very far. But if I have inclined you to take hold of what you already have in Christ, then I have succeeded in what I have tried to do. And that is make these scriptures come alive to you that you might wake up to the fact of Christ in you, not only the hope of heaven, but the power for life and godliness right now where you live as you go through this trip of life. Quit pushing the car. Get inside. Allow the Holy Spirit to empower you and enjoy the trip down the road. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for so great a salvation, the richness of our salvation, and the potential of our salvation. Somehow we have to be reminded of it over and over and over again, because how easily we take for granted not only what you have done in our lives, but especially what you can do through our lives if we just yield our will to yours and allow you to be Lord of all in our lives. Lord, bless Brother Nate in the service to follow. Speak through him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray if there's one soul here today that is outside of the grace of God, that the grace of God might reach down and call them out of darkness into light. They might repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as an unequal gift beyond anything they would even imagine. Life and godliness through the divine power of God, through His Son Jesus Christ, can be theirs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.